different than any other night, any other Sunday evening service, I should say. You could start with taking your Bibles or go to Philippians chapter chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1.
Can you hear me okay tonight? Philippians chapter 1 is where we're going to begin, and then we'll eventually make our way over to Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. If you'd like to mark both places. Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James. Philippians 1 and Titus chapter 1, two different places tonight for the time that we'll spend in the scripture. And of course, tonight I'll not so much preach a message, an expository message, as I will convey a vision from the scriptures for our church that God has put on my heart that coincides consequently with our theme for this year, which is simplify. By the way, if you weren't able to hear the message this morning, maybe you were serving in ministry or you were not able to be here for some other reason, I want to encourage you to go back and listen to the message. We will get it posted tomorrow on our website. It'll be available on our podcast, and it will be available, of course, on our YouTube channel, and you can replay it on our Facebook page as well. So lots of options where you can go and listen to it, but I want it to go down deep in our hearts as a church family this year, much as God has used many of the themes that we have emphasized throughout the years. I really believe that this is one that we absolutely need to get a hold of as a church this year. 2021 was one of the most fruitful years our church has experienced in my time here as a pastor. This past year, we've seen more and more people join together with us as a part of our church. And by the way, we give God all the glory for those things. That's not due to any one of us. Doesn't have to do with us at all. It's all because of God and God's working. And so many but God stories we saw take place this past year. And so thankful for the things that God has done. And yet, the unprecedented surge in growth has brought along with it some challenges that we have never faced before, at least in recent history, in our church. And I believe that we are at a crossroads this year, a crossroads that a new program or a new system introduced into the church is not going to solve. You're never going to solve deeply spiritual issues like the ones we're facing by just throwing another program at it. And that really isn't the solution. If we're going to keep growing forward, we're going to have to embrace this theme to simplify. And it's got to hit every level of our life. It's got to start with our personal lives. Listen, the message this morning was preached to us on a personal level. Every one of us need to make some choices to take those strings of priorities that are pulling us in different directions and hand them over to the Lord so that our purpose can be simplified and we can live our life truly for the cause of Jesus Christ. And that starts with us each individually making that decision. But that needs to grow then naturally to impacting our homes so that our homes become simplified. And I think it's easy for us to say, especially if you still have children in your home, really at any age level, and some of you, your children are growing and gone, and this would still be true about you, but in your home, it's like your ship's passing in the night a lot of the times. You're so busy with all of your commitments and all of the things that are going on in your life that you don't have a whole lot of time to spend with each other. And I think that this theme of simplifying needs to impact our homes as well. And then as another natural consequence, it needs to impact our church. That we would become simplified as a church and as a church family in our focus and in how we function as a church. That's the only way we're going to keep growing. And I'm not just talking about numeric growth here. I'm talking about something far more important than that, which is our spiritual growth, our health as a church. And we need to continue to keep the main thing, and not allow ourselves to get distracted. And that's going to require a decision to simplify as a church this year. The only way this will be accomplished is if we all get on the same page. Don't miss what I'm about to say to you here. If every person has an agenda, If every person has a cause that is different from the main goal that Jesus has given to us as the church, then we will get off track, and worse yet, we will get divided in our purpose. And what God has begun to do will be no more. Churches have a lifespan. You understand that? The seven churches that were written to in the book of Revelation, none of them exist still today. There's the birth stage. There is the infant stage. There is a growth stage. There's also a stage of decline. And there are even a few churches in this area that have been vibrant churches in years past, but now the youngest people in the church are in their 60s, and there's not a lot of vision for the future. That will happen to Lighthouse Baptist Church if we don't keep the main thing the main thing. And keep our focus on what Jesus has called us to do. Now, I don't share that to cast any condemnation or criticism on another church in this area. I'm just saying that's not where the vision this year is. That's not where we're headed. And we want to keep the main thing the main thing and keep moving, growing forward as a church this year. And if we're going to do that, we have to decide to do it together. If we are going to simplify as a church this year, it will take us all deciding to pursue the mission that God has collectively given us as the church. That brings us to Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, where the Lord reminds us how we need to strive together for this purpose. Philippians 1, verse 27 says, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast with one spirit and with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." May it be said of our church this year that we are a church that is striving together for the faith of the gospel. Now, with the time that we have here tonight, this time is going to be both spiritual and practical. We're going to be looking at the scripture, at some things that should be important for us as a church, and then looking at how those should practically impact our daily lives as a church collectively and as individuals. And I'm looking forward to sharing with you as this church family some of the things that God has put on my heart. I'll say this, and I don't say this to convey any manner of thinking that I'm something special. But it's interesting to me every time we come to a season like this. And this season was very interesting because I was sick while this was taking place and I was already discouraged. But I got a phone call this past week from a man that I respect greatly who asked if I wanted to come and pastor a church in Kentucky. And this was a mega church. It was a big church. It was a good opportunity if you look at things like that as an opportunity. And I was able to kindly tell him I'm not interested because God has called me here. But it seems like every time God has been about to do something special in our church, there has always been, for me personally, that type of thing that has taken place. And that just makes me more excited about what I'm about to talk to you about and about the future and about what God has in store for us here. And I hope with whatever trials you may have been facing as this year has began or as the last year ended, you might keep in mind that those things may just be things that God is using to strengthen your faith and get us ready as a church for the things that God would like to do in our midst this year. So let's pray together, ask God to speak to our hearts, and we'll jump into what we have for this evening. Our Father, we come before you and we thank you for this opportunity to be able to open your word. And Lord, for me as a pastor to be able to convey my heart to the church as an under-shepherd, Lord, serving under you. This is your church. It's your vision. And my words are meaningless. My vision is meaningless. But Lord, so much as it comes from you and it comes from your word, I pray, God, that that would be what comes across tonight. And I pray that we together would make a decision to jump on the same page, to be about the same mission, and to strive together for the faith of the gospel. And Lord, I pray that we would simplify that as a church family and our mission and purpose, and Lord, embrace the process that you've given us to be able to accomplish that tonight. And I pray that you'd help me to convey these many things that you placed on my heart in a clear way, in a concise way, in a way that will be convicting And Lord, that your Spirit would show each individual how they can be involved in what you are giving to us here tonight. And these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. As we continue on into this new year, there are some things that God has put on my heart as a pastor of this church. The pastor is a shepherd, a bishop. Sometimes a pastor is called in the scriptures. It means an overseer. As an overseer of the ministry of Lighthouse Baptist Church, I believe through prayer and seeking the Lord and getting much counsel and reading much information through this last fall and early winter especially, God has used to guide my heart to bring down the vision for our church this year really to just a simple statement. And when it comes to the vision for our church this year, I believe God wants us to simplify church. Now, I know that we've been banging this drum a lot today, okay? But hang with me, because I want to try to convey to you what I mean by that. I think that I really do believe that is the vision that God has for us this year, to simplify church. This past year, we have experienced, as I said a little while ago, a surge of growth unlike anything that I believe we have ever experienced in our church, in our history as a church. Now, I don't know that for sure because I don't have all the old records, but it really doesn't matter. In recent times, it was a surge of growth unlike anything that we have seen. Our church went from averaging 140 on Sunday mornings. Now, granted, that was in 2020, but went from averaging 140 on Sunday mornings to averaging 220, an increase of almost 100 people every Sunday. Now, we have seen progressive growth by 20s or 20 or 30 on average every year, but not by almost 100. Our weekly average offerings went from about $8,000 to almost $11,000 every week. And I think that indicates the measure of the spiritual growth that has taken place in our church and the spiritual maturity of the many of the new ones that have started coming to our church as well. And by the way, I plan to share a lot more of these encouraging statistics on Victory Night next Sunday night. I intended to be able to have done that last Sunday night, but God had other plans than that. So we'll cover more of that next Sunday night. But the point is, we've been growing so quickly that it's really been hard to keep up in many ways. And I don't believe that there really is a ministry in our church that hasn't felt the impact of the exaggerated growth that is taking place in our church to some degree. And I could go off and read a list of ministries, and I would almost guarantee that all of them would say, we need more help. And so what we're experiencing, in one term we could give to it, is growing pains. We're experiencing growing pains. By the way, I'll take that. Amen? I'd rather have that than not have it. And there's a lot of churches that are experiencing pains from not growing, and I'd rather be on the side of experiencing growing pains than being on the other side of that thing. And so if we're going to be able to continue to grow forward as a church, it will require us coming together as a church to adopt a process for growth that is sustainable for everybody that's involved. And I want to take some time to convey this process to you, because I believe this process of growth is so central to accomplishing the vision God has given us this year to simplify church. And before I give this process to you, I want to show it demonstrated in the scripture for you. So now I want you to turn back in your Bibles to Titus chapter number 1. Because here is where I believe the Apostle Paul, in writing to one of his preacher boys, Timothy, conveyed the reason and the heartbeat behind developing a process that will encourage growth in the church. Of Titus chapter 1 and verse number 5. If you're there, say amen. Amen. The Bible says, Paul writing to his preacher boy Titus, "For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting," or the things that are being neglected or forsaken. "Set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders, leaders in every city, as I had appointed thee." Titus, who was the pastor of the church at Crete, had been put in that city by the Lord and under the authority of the Apostle Paul, and been put there for a purpose. And that reason was twofold, as we just read in that verse. It was, first of all, to set the things that were being neglected or forsaken back in order. To do something about the areas that were what we have just referred to as growing pains in the church. And then the second purpose he had been put there was to equip and empower new leaders to serve in the areas of need in the church. And both of those were vitally important for the future growth and health of the church that was there in Crete. And so God instructed the pastoral leadership to concern themselves with instructing and engaging the church so that it could grow forward. And I don't think that that role has changed still today. If you'd like to turn over there, you can. I want to show you another passage that indicates to us, teaches us that this is the role of the pastoral leadership in the church. Ephesians chapter 4 is where I'm going, and verse number 11. This is what the Bible says in Ephesians 4 and verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more as children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh the increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And so here the Bible talks about how the role of the pastor teacher in the church is to help the church family be structured in such a way so that they can continue to grow and fulfill the purpose that God has given us as the church. And that is why I believe God has put this burden on my heart. In much the same way as God instructed Titus in Titus chapter 1, I believe God has been instructing me as a pastor to take these principles to heart. Now listen, one of the decisions I've made this year is to read a chapter from the pastoral epistles every day. I usually read a chapter from the book of Proverbs every day, but the Lord just told me to give that a rest this year, and along with my 52-week Bible reading plan, I've been reading a chapter from the pastoral epistles, 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus, every day, because those are God's instructions specifically for the pastoral leadership in the church. And it's been amazing to see what God is already beginning to do in my heart, and some of these things I'm sharing with you are the result of that. But the two things that God told Titus to concern himself with as a pastor of the church of Crete are the two things that God has burdened my heart about as well. And the first one is to set in order the things that are being neglected or forsaken in our church. Let's be honest. There's a lot of good that is taking place through Lighthouse Baptist Church, and I am so thankful. But we have not arrived, and there's a lot that is being neglected and forsaken as well. And we need a surge of leadership to help address those areas that are being neglected. Later this month, we're going to be voting on some more deacons to add to the leadership structure of our church. We are praying for some more pastoral leadership in the future as well. And I think those things are necessary, but listen, the church is made up of a lot more people than pastors and deacons. And just because you don't bear one of those titles given in the scripture doesn't mean that you cannot be used in leadership and as a vital part to what's happening at Lighthouse Baptist Church. In fact, I would go so far to say that most of the people that God is using are the ones who are serving in the trenches, unknown to most the rest of us. Our small group leaders, those who teach classes that often go unrecognized, unnoticed, they're making more of an impact than what any of us could possibly comprehend. There are some areas that are being neglected or forsaken in the ministry that we have got, as the pastor of this church, I have got to encourage this church to get back to accomplishing the mission that God has given us to fulfill. I think of a thing like soul winning. It is something that has become all but neglected on any given week at our church. And I'm not just talking about going out every week and knocking on doors, although we do need to get back to that. There's never going to be a time when that is not going to be something that we should be involved in as the church. But there are many other areas that I'm going to talk about tonight that go along with this. Areas that are being neglected or forsaken that we need to get back to. One of those areas in particular that God burdened my heart with last summer was the need, with so many new young people having graduated, to get a ministry for our young adults. And I'm thankful. In conjunction with that God burdened the heart of two couples in our church to start getting involved and have now started a ministry ministering to the young adults in our church. And that was an area that was being neglected, and there are many others. That's what I'm talking about. And then the second thing that God instructed Titus with as the pastor of that church in Crete, same thing that I believe God's burdened my heart about here tonight, is that I need to equip and empower and engage new leaders in areas of ministry. I think that there comes a point where as the church continues to grow, I have begun to realize what Stephen Covey, I think, put so well. It is only as we develop those around us that we permanently succeed. If it's always the same people doing the same things, we can almost get this idea of us four and no more. The problem with that is we have new people who are coming in who do have gifts given to them by the Holy Spirit of God and who are willing to help and serve. And if we would equip them and engage them in the work of the Lord, then we expand our capacity to be able to lead more people to maturity in the faith of Christ. And that's really why it's so important to me as a pastor to step away from personally doing some of the work of the ministry and be more involved in training the next generation to step into leadership and ministry. And I'll be honest, that's not easy for me. There are a lot of things I like doing. But there's a lot of things that I like doing that aren't healthy for this church in the long term. And one of the things that God has called me to do this year is step away and start focusing on developing more young men and young ladies, young in the faith or young in age, either one, and getting them ready to step into leadership roles in the church. And there is a desperate need to involve more ministry servants in every area of ministry in our church. I said this earlier, but most of our ministry servants are spread so thin in between multiple different ministries that they're having a hard time keeping up with all of it. I think most of our ministry leaders would say it's a stretch just to try to be in church twice a month in some of our ministries because we don't have enough people serving. We don't have enough people involved. And you look around and think that everything flows naturally, but I look around on any given Sunday and I think, man, I haven't seen them in church in 3 weeks. And it's not because they're not here, it's because they've been serving. And that's not healthy. That's why we need to simplify. That's why we need to get more people involved. If we continue on at this pace, there is no way we can grow anymore without it desperately damaging the health of this church. And that's what my heart is burdened about. And so it is apparent that God has placed pastoral leadership in the church to see that such needs of this are being met and to seek God's word on how to lead God's church in addressing these needs. And I have done just that. And so I want to talk to you now with that scriptural precedent about the process for growth that God has given to us for Lighthouse Baptist Church. For some of you, this will be review. For some of you, you might have heard this 15 times and you still haven't gotten it, okay? And so maybe we'll get it this time. But can I just say, as core church family, these next few things I'm going to be sharing with you are things that you should just know. What's the purpose of our church? What's the mission of our church? What's the process for growth? I hope after tonight that you'll make a commitment to memorize those three things, because those three things are vitally important to us simplifying church this year. Every year when we get to this point, the beginning of the year, I like to pause and think about where we are as a church, and more importantly, where we're going as a church. If we just stay living pragmatic lives and living in the present, never look to the future, look beyond this year, look 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road, 20 years down the road, then we're going to not be able to lead this church in the direction that God wants us to go. We've got to have a bigger vision than that. And it's so easy living the busy lives that we live to get distracted by things that don't matter. There is such a thing as mission drift. Have you ever heard of that before? Mission drift. There is such a thing as that. Many of you have probably been to the ocean like I have before. And if you go out on the ocean, we like to go waveboarding. How many of you have been waveboarding before? Now, it's not surfing. I'm not cool enough for that or talented enough for that. But waveboarding, they have a waveboard where you can go out and ride on the waves. And I can handle that, okay? But it's interesting. When I've gone out and done that before in the past, especially when I was still a teenager, living with my parents, we would go to the beach in Florida. By the way, the beach in Florida, 10 times better. Beaches in California, hallelujah, okay? Just want to let you guys know that. But anyways, we'd go out there, and the water's actually warm is why, okay? But we'd go out there, and I'd go sit on the water, and of course, they have a zone that is netted off. It protects you from sharks getting through and things like that. And I remember one particular time I was sitting out there on the water, and I was a little tired, so I was just sitting on my wave board. And as I sat there, I thought I was sitting in the same place the whole time. I was not sitting in the same place. And before I knew it, I was way out past the net in the middle of nowhere in this ocean. Now, I could still see the shore, but that's a scary feeling right there. What happened? I drifted. That's possible for a church to do as well. If we just try to sit still and say, you know what, we've experienced a lot of growth this year, I think it's all right for us just to take a little break this year. I think it's all right for us to just coast this year. Friend, by the time we get to the end of the year, we will have drifted farther away than we could possibly realize from the purpose and mission that God has given to us as the church. Now is not the time to sit back and relax. Now is the time to say, this one thing I do, and I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We've got to keep moving forward, church. We've got to remember as we move forward what it is that we're moving forward and what we're supposed to be about. And so as we pray about the future, this one thing is certain. Our purpose and mission are still the same as they've always been as the church. I want to review what our purpose statement is as the church. Can we put that next slide up here? Our purpose, let's say this out loud together, church. Here we go. Lighthouse exists to glorify God, edify one another, and testify of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Glorify God. We want everything that we do in this church to be about giving God glory. It's not about giving Lighthouse glory. It's not about building a brand. Okay, it's not about building a name in this community that everybody else respects. Who cares if they know about Lighthouse? We want them to know about Jesus. Okay? So our purpose is to glorify God, and our purpose is to edify one another. Edify means to build each other up. We're not in the business of tearing each other down. We're in the business of building each other up. We're not in the business of tearing other churches down or other people in this community down. We're in the business of building people up. And we're not in the business of condemning people who are lost. We're in the business of reaching them, bringing them to Christ, and helping them grow in their faith. That is what our purpose is. That's why we exist, church, to glorify God, to edify one another, and then to testify of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And listen, there ought not be an activity, there ought not be an event that takes place at Lighthouse Baptist Church that the gospel of Jesus Christ is not being declared at. It's so central to everything that we are as a church, and it's why we exist. It's why we've been left behind by Christ. Until He comes, He wants us to be sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ every encounter that we're given the opportunity to be a part of. And boy, God's burned my heart about this. I want to bring the gospel into every situation, all right? Every situation. When I eat at a restaurant, I tell you, I've met people out in the middle of the woods doing nothing. And I always carry tracks with me. Well, here's a track for you. I guess God sent me all the way out in this woods to give you a track because obviously I'm not going to kill anything. that's my favorite statement right there, okay? But hey, I'm telling you, that's our purpose. And you ought to know that. Three words, all you have to remember to know our purpose. Glorify, edify, testify. That's it. That's easy to remember. Glorify, edify, testify. That's why we exist. That's our purpose. And right along with that, in fulfilling that purpose, the way we go about fulfilling that purpose is through our mission. And I want to look at our mission statement here next. Let's put that on the screen if we could. Our mission is to make, mature, and multiply disciples of Jesus. Let's say that out loud together, church. Our mission is to make, mature, and multiply disciples of Jesus. How are we going about glorifying God, edifying one another, and testifying of the gospel of Jesus Christ? That is through our mission. And our mission is to make, mature, and multiply disciples of Jesus Christ. And boy, a lot could be said about that mission. It comes from Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, where Jesus told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And we are supposed to be about this mission of making disciples of ourselves, being disciples of Christ ourselves, but also sharing the gospel that other people might be made disciples of Jesus Christ, and then seeing them mature in their faith. And there are many ways that we strive to accomplish that in this church, including things like small groups and discipleship and so on and so forth, helping people mature in their faith so that they can stand on their own two feet spiritually and they can stand alongside us in reaching more people with the gospel, multiplying. Now it's not just one, it's two people who are able to reach others with the gospel. And if those two people reach two other people, two become four. If those four reach four other people, those four become eight, and so on and so forth. And the impact of the gospel begins not just to experience addition, but it begins to experience multiplication. That is what our mission is as the church. By the way, that wasn't my idea. That's God's idea. That's the mission Jesus gave us from the beginning. There's nothing new under the sun here. We're just trying to fulfill the mission that Jesus gave to us as the church from the beginning. And I just found a catchy way to help you remember it. Make, mature, and multiply. Our purpose, glorify, edify, testify. Our mission, make, mature, multiply. I hope those are things that you will take to heart and begin to work on having ingrained into your mind as a part of this church family, because these are the foundational pillars that'll keep us from experiencing that missions drift I talked about, all right? And this is the cause for which we are living as believers in Jesus Christ who are members of Lighthouse Baptist Church. We talked about simplifying our focus. This is what we're focused on as this church. And may we never forget it. Every event we have, every meeting that takes place, every building that we build, every dollar that we spend or give needs to be funneled toward our mission of making, maturing, and multiplying followers of Jesus Christ for the purpose of glorifying God, edifying one another, and testifying of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Everything needs to be about these things. Now listen, I'm going to bring this all to a head here, because as we strive to accomplish this mission and fulfillment of this purpose, we have developed a process, a ministry process that everyone needs to understand and everyone needs to get behind and everyone needs to make themselves a part of. And this is the part that I don't think as many of you are going to be familiar with. And I want to put that ministry process up here if we could, because I'm going to be talking about that here in just a little bit. There it is right there. It might be hard for some of you to read. But really, our purpose and our mission are threefold steps. And so our ministry process in which we strive to fulfill this is a three-step process as well. Step one, it's pretty simple. We're trying to get people to attend church. Now, sometimes we get them to attend church because we led them to Christ before we ever brought them to church. And praise God when that happens. Sometimes we invite people to church in the hopes that they'll hear the gospel and come eventually to trust Christ as their Savior. That's step one. When people hear about Lighthouse, the first step we're encouraging them to take is just come. Come be a part of what God's doing here. And in that process, in that part of the process, it might include you sharing the gospel with a person, might include you inviting them to church, might include them actually coming to church for a first time and someone following up with them and thanking them for coming and trying to share the gospel with them. Certainly the new ones that come, we're encouraging to be a part of our next step group so that they can learn more about who we are as a church and what it means to be a part of our church. But that first step is simply to attend services at our church. The second step we're encouraging people to make after they begin to come and attend our services is to join a small group. You've heard me say this a lot, and I don't want to beat an old drum, but friend, this is a vitally important part of the growth process, the ministry process of our church. And of course, while we're encouraging them to join a small group, we're encouraging our small group leaders and members to talk to individuals about their salvation, see if they really know Christ as their Savior, and if they have been saved, encourage them to be scripturally baptized. And if they have been scripturally baptized, to encourage them to become a member of our church, to take them through discipleship. And we want a lot of those things to take place on a small group level, because listen, the more that we grow, the harder it's going to be for any one person to be the person to reach out to everybody. And that's why the small groups are the church organized to fulfill the Great Commission. That is a central part of our philosophy at Lighthouse. And the small groups are supposed to be how we organize the church to fulfill this ministry growth process, the Great Commission, in other words. And so step one is we're trying to encourage people to attend services. And then step two, we're encouraging them to join a small group, which leads to step three, which at that point, the next growth step we're encouraging people to take is to get them to serve in ministry. And the ministry that we're striving to get everyone to be involved in is twofold. We want everybody to be involved in in-reach ministry and in outreach ministry. That is serving inside these four walls and serving outside these four walls in the community in some way. At this point of service and ministry, we also want people as they grow to be able to be plugged into places of service, places of leadership, where they're not just serving in ministry, but they're helping lead ministries and expand ministries so that we can reach more people with the gospel. So every person who walks through the doors of our church should know, however long they have been coming or however short they have been coming, every person should know what their next step is that they need to take. They come for the first time or the second time to our church. It should not take very long before somebody, either from a pulpit or in a private conversation, says, "Are you a part of a small group yet?" It has got to become a simple part of what we do around here. Listen, there are a lot of people that come to our church, and they come for months. And eventually they have to ask, how does a person get more involved around here? That shouldn't be the case. And that is a problem. That's a problem that I believe God has given us a vision to start addressing this year. But it's got to start with all of us embracing the simple vision that God has given to us as a church. All right? We can be about a whole lot of things. You want to be more involved in the church? Well then, hey, do this, do that. We can all come up with ideas. What I'm asking you to adopt along with me here is that when someone starts coming to our church, we encourage them to become a part of a small group. Before we encourage them to do anything else, to become a part of a small group. And that's so important to everything that we're striving to accomplish together as a church. And then, for those that are coming and involved in a small group, and listen, I know the small groups aren't everything we want them to be, all right? We're in a process of growth. And your preacher's not everything he wants to be or he should be, and you're not everything you should be either, by the way, okay? And so let's just grow together. We might experience some growing pains along the way, but certainly if you get in and have a good attitude, your group will be a whole lot better than you not coming and grumbling about it, okay? I'm not thinking about any of you in particular as I say that, okay? The people who are involved in small groups, we want to get all of them involved in ministry to some capacity. Now, because this is our process for ministry, we have started to track our growth in our church differently than we used to. Before, this is just kind of how you naturally think about it, we used to look at growth in our church by just the hard numeric numbers. We had more in church this week than we did last week, and so we're growing. No. It doesn't take much work. In fact, if you're a good entertainer, you can fill a room pretty easily, okay? And there are a lot of churches that their focus is entertainment, and they do fill a building really well. We are not in the entertainment business. I tell our music team all the time, this is not a show. This is not a production, okay? We're not up here to perform. We're up here to lead the church in worship. And that's true for every ministry of the church. And so not really a good metric to measure growth by. How do we measure growth? Well, we measure growth now by our ministry process. In the first phase of growth, we do look at service attendance. And as we've looked at service attendance, we have seen that our church has grown this year. Went from averaging 140 last year to 220 we've been averaging this year. But that's only the first phase of growth in the church. Now listen, the second phase, the second metric that we look at then is our small group involvement. If our first step is come to church, our second step is join a small group. And while we are averaging 240 Sunday mornings, I would say we're only averaging about 70 in our small groups. I think we have a whole lot of room for growth, church. And some of the people, it needs to start with some of the people in this room. I understand you're going to have to reorganize some things in your life, but hey, simplify, okay? We talked about that this morning. Making time for the things that should be important, important for you and important for us as a church together. And so the second metric of growth we look at is our small group involvement. And then the third metric of growth, and this really tells us how deep we're growing spiritually, is how many people served in ministry. And we look at that from two perspectives. And you are going to, Lord willing, start hearing this in your small groups as well. We're going to ask you if you are involved in any in-reach ministry, any ministry inside these four walls. Now, don't smack your small group teacher. I'm going to ask them to ask you that, okay? You say, well, that's none of your business. It is my business because God has given me the task as the pastor of this church to set in order the things that are being neglected. And I want to know if there's things being neglected and areas that are being neglected. And that's the heartbeat I have behind this. And so they may ask, well, did you serve in ministry this week? And we're going to count how many people served in ministry on any given week. And so let me give you a for example. We might have 240 people in church on a Sunday morning, have 80 people involved in small groups, but have 10 people who served in ministry. Now, I don't think there's ever been a week where something like that has taken place. Usually it's between 40 and 50 people. I don't even know, maybe 30 and 40 people that serve in ministry. But none of our metrics have been accurate because we haven't been accurately tracking this. We just started doing this past year. But that gives us something to gauge growth by. And what we want to see as our attendance goes up, our small group involvement is going up as well. And our ministry involvement is going up as well, in proportion too. Because if we get to the place, so we have 500 people in the church, but we still have 50 people serving, guess what that is? That's the 90-10 rule. 10% of the people doing 90% of the work. That is not healthy. And that is not growth that can be sustained. That's why I'm concerned with not just numeric growth, but spiritual growth in the body. And this is the process that God has put on my heart to help us accomplish that growth as a church. And I hope that that makes sense to you here tonight. And so how can we simplify church this year? And to put it simply, we all need to get focused on this process, on fulfilling this process. And whatever step you need to take yourself as a part of that process, I want you to start with taking that step. And then as you're trying to encourage others, I want you to familiarize yourself with these steps so that you can encourage others to come along with you as well. And none of us will ever have arrived, well, I already took all the steps. I made it to the end, and I don't need to grow anymore. Listen, you get to the last step serving in ministry, and your job will never be done trying to encourage others to take those steps along behind you. All right? Our job will never be done until Jesus comes. But this process is something I'm asking us all to get behind as a church this year. And so I hope that makes sense to you here tonight. Now, before we're done, I want to take some time to convey to you some goals that God has given to me as the pastor of this church. And these goals are, I only have three goals, all right? Usually I have a whole laundry list. I only have three goals, about 500 subpoints under those goals, but I only have three goals. No, I'm just kidding with you. I'll go through these quickly, and maybe you could take some notes and pray along with me about these things. The first goal, and we do have these if you'd like to help me put them on the screen, is this, that every attender become a member. Every attender become a member. What's that going to require? Well, it's going to require us to share the gospel personally with every person who comes to Lighthouse Baptist Church. It burdens my heart oftentimes when I pray through the names of new people who've been coming to our church, and sometimes even people who've been coming for years. Has anybody ever shared the gospel with them? Not just from the pulpit, but personally. I'm going to be frank with you. I don't have the time or ability to do that for every person who visits this church. That's why it's so important that we incorporate our small groups into the fulfillment of the Great Commission. And that's something we're going to be talking more and more about. If we're going to have every person become a member, listen, the Bible teaches saved, baptized church membership. We're not interested in having people become members of this church who don't know Christ. Now, we're very interested in them being here, and we want to welcome them. But for them to become a member of this church, they have to join something that they're a part of. Common faith in Christ. That's what it's going to take. And then it's going to take us encouraging every person to get scripturally baptized. Now, we live in a very religious society. We've got a lot of people who were baptized Mormon around here, or at least baptized for the dead, okay? People who've been baptized with other types of cults that are around here. We've got people baptized as babies because they grew up Catholic. And the Bible doesn't teach any of those baptisms. And we've got to encourage people to get baptized scripturally and to publicly profess their faith in Christ. That's not something to be ashamed of. And every one of us can be a part of encouraging people to take that next step. If we're going to have every member, every attender become a member, it's going to require us helping each person deal with sin issues that might keep them from joining. You know why some people don't join our church? Because they know they're not in a position in life that would qualify themselves to be members of a church. Our priority is not to wag our fingers at them, but to love them and help them work through those issues. Listen, we've got people in our church that are living together and not married. I'm not mad at them. I want to help them be able to get that right and not live together in sin, but go through some marriage counseling and get that right. And by God's grace, we've been able to help several couples with making those decisions. That's what I'm talking about. And this is not a museum for perfect people. This is a hospital for the hurting. And if we're going to help every attender become a member, it's not going to be always a pretty process. You're going to have to get our hands dirty sometimes in helping some people. By the way, that's what Jesus did. And every one of us can be a part of this. And then another thing it's going to require is us each taking, to take each person who is an attender of our church through the next step class to prepare them for membership. We want every person who is attending this church, if they never attended a next step fellowship, and we're going to have four of them this year, every time you hear that, you should think for yourself, if you've not been there, you should go. So I've been a member for 40 years. Come anyways, okay? At least so you know what it is. Then if you've got somebody saying, how do I get more involved around here? You encourage them. Go to that next step class and get involved with that. But we want every attender to become a member. That's goal number one. Goal number two, that every member become a disciple. Every member a disciple. Listen, you don't become a member and then your job all of a sudden becomes to warm a pew every week. You say, well, I also give in the offering plate. All right, well, then you're good. No, I'm just kidding. That's not good enough. Our job is not to warm a pew and put money in an offering plate. We're not even close to what God has called us to as the church. All right? We want to continue to grow, continue to be disciples at whatever stage of life we're in. And so if every member is going to be a disciple, It's going to mean that we take every member through our continued discipleship program. You say, Pastor, I've been saved longer than you've been alive. Congratulations. I'm so proud of you, okay? You still are called to disciple other people. And the process by which we accomplish that in our church is you go through discipleship with someone who's already been through it so that you can equip yourself to go through it with someone else. So I don't need somebody else to take me through it. Well, guess what? Until you can have some humility about your own faith, then you have no business trying to instruct other people. I know I'm being a little hard about this, but it requires humility. You have not arrived, and we have got to continue to move forward in our own faith if we're going to help other people move forward in their faith. And so we want to take every member through our continued discipleship program, not just so they'll get grounded in their faith, but so that they have the tools to be able to help other people become grounded in their faith. Every member, a disciple, how are we going to do it? Well, that means every member who has completed discipleship should then take someone through it. You say, well, Pastor, I'm on the A list. I did discipleship, and I helped someone else go through discipleship 5 years ago. You are dropping the ball, okay? Now, I understand it takes a lot of work and time to take other people through discipleship, but it is a labor of love that is so important to the mission of our church. And if you've been through it, it's time to prayerfully seek someone else to go through it with you. You say, well, Pastor, you tell me who it is, and I'll take them through it. Guess what? It's not my job to find them for you. Now, sometimes God does put someone on my heart and puts someone else on my heart to be their discipler. Sometimes that does happen. But guess what? God's called you to fulfill the Great Commission as much as He's called me to fulfill it. And it doesn't have to be somebody in these walls. You don't have to start looking around. Well, I wonder if he's been through discipleship. Once you go to your work, once you go to your neighbor, once you go to the restaurant, that person that you see every week that likes to talk to you, ask them, hey, you mind if I come in here and sit with you and take you through a Bible study program? You might be surprised at what God will do with that. You just follow the prompting of the Holy Spirit. You've been through discipleship. You need to take somebody else through it. Every member, a disciple. How are we going to do that? Well, we need to challenge every member to join a small group. And I'm going to keep beating this drum. I'm going to keep beating this drum, and I'm going to keep beating this drum until we've got 100% of the members of this church who are involved in a small group. By the way, let me just tell you this. We are going to be starting a Sunday school. Now, I'm going to call it Sunday school so the people that are diehard Sunday school will come, but it's going to be a small group taking place Sunday morning. But I'm going to call it Sunday school, all right? But there are some who just are kind of set in their ways and they don't want to meet during the week or whatever the case is. Okay, well, fine. We're going to start a Sunday school and you can be a part of that. And we're going to try to provide some more opportunities for more groups throughout this year. But I want everybody to find a place to be involved in a small group. Every member, a disciple. You need to keep studying. You need to keep growing in your faith. Every member, a disciple. How are we going to do it? Encourage members to enroll in Faith Bible Institute. I know this isn't for everybody, but Faith Bible Institute is a great program that takes you through every word of the Bible, every major doctrine. And it's a Bible college caliber degree for church members. And I would encourage you to be a part of that if you've not gone through it yet. And then encourage every member to be a disciple. That means that we're going to have to encourage members to attend leadership training opportunities. I told you one of the things that God has called me to do this year is to step away from doing a lot of the ministry myself and to spend more time training future leaders and encouraging current leaders. And throughout this year, you're going to see it. I'm going to take a whole lot more time to do training. Now, that doesn't mean people are going to show up, okay? But if you're going to keep growing, what it may mean is that you come to one of those training times so that you are preparing yourself to possibly take a place of leadership in this church somewhere down the road. I am not interested in asking people to serve in leadership who don't think they need training or counsel. You say, well, you're 32 years old and I've been serving in ministry longer than you've been alive. I'm glad for you, okay? I'm really glad for you. But God has called me to be the pastor of this church. I'm not standing up here being prideful. I'm telling you, God has burned my heart about this. And I want to equip future leaders of this church. But it takes humility to be able to understand that. And so our goals, number one, every attender a member. Number two, every member a disciple. And number three, every member a minister. Every member a minister. When I'm talking about that, as I'd like, and I've already mentioned this before, I'm going to elaborate it more now. I'd like to see every member be engaged in what we call in-reach ministry around here. In-reach ministry. What is in-reach ministry? The in-reach ministries of our church are the ministries taking place inside our walls. These ministries would include the music ministry, the ushers, greeters, welcome desk, hospitality to a certain degree, junior church, small groups, the guardian ministry, nursery, youth group, bus ministry, cleaning, tech booth, maintenance, the deaf ministry, which we had another person come who was deaf today or hard of hearing today, and we might need to take that off even more in the days ahead. And there are probably a dozen more other in-reach ministries that still need to be started. But the fact of the matter is, I want every person who is a member of this church, and some of you who aren't even members yet, you can't have a leadership position unless you're a member, but you can still get involved. I want every person to get involved in these four walls. All right? You want to call it a chore? Then call it a chore. I call it serving the Lord, okay? But many hands make light the work. Put yourself on the nursery schedule. Well, I don't like babies. Well, then please don't put yourself on the nursery schedule, okay? You don't like kids, then you might serve in adult ministry somewhere. You might be a greeter. Those guys up there that serve in the tech booth, they're really easy to criticize, aren't they? I love those guys because they're up there every week and they're probably one of the most criticized ministries in this church, all right? You can sit down here and criticize, or you can be up there one Sunday night a month, all right? Then you could be criticized. No, I'm just kidding with you. But they do need help. They like to sit in church too, you know that? And many hands make light the work. Say, they're just sitting upstairs. There's nothing to it. Well, go try it, and you tell me there's nothing to it, okay? You can push buttons and flip knobs, okay? You can get involved, and every person has a place they can serve, and every ministry leader in this church would tell you they need more help. And if you just sign up for a couple ministries, it doesn't mean you're going to be doing it every week. It doesn't mean maybe once a month. And you relieve the burden of someone else so that we can keep growing forward as a church. Every person needs to be involved in in-reach ministry. Every member, a minister, be engaged in in-reach ministry and by secondly being engaged in outreach ministry. Outreach ministries are the ministries that take place outside these four walls. And those would involve all the outreach ministries of our church. These ministries would include soul winning, going out door-to-door witnessing. Yes, we're getting back to that this year. Yes, we're going to have some training this year to help those of you that are a little nervous about that. And I am looking forward to jumping back into that. That soul winning, that face-to-face confrontational type of conversation, helping people in their own homes understand their need for the gospel of Jesus Christ. It would also include canvassing, just passing out flyers for the church, follow-up visits, new move-in visits, which are a new thing that we're working on this year. I'm going to get the escrow list every month and find out all the people who are new move-ins to this area, and I'm going to put them in your small group folders, and I'm going to ask you guys to go visit them. And say, hey, we're from Lighthouse Baptist Church. Welcome to our community. And, hey, we know of a really good church that you should be a part of. And give them a track to Lighthouse Baptist Church. And pray with them if they need it and go on your merry way. It's very easy visits. But that's outreach, all right? That's getting outside your comfort zone, outside these four walls and reaching people you've never talked to before. These ministries would include bus visits, phone calls for the church to follow-up calls, counseling, helping other churches. I'd like to see more of that this year. Fellowship of Christian athletes, community cleanup days, passing out tracts in your day-to-day life, serving at the bridge, which I've talked to the new director at the bridge, and he wants us to come. He wants us to come and help serve meals. They wouldn't let us do that before, but I hope we can get involved in that this year. Serving at the soup kitchen here in town, and there are just many other opportunities. There are probably more opportunities than what I could even come up with by myself. God may put one on your heart and say, Pastor, we need to start doing this as a church. You know what I'm going to say? Hoorah! Let's do it, okay? And God puts it on your heart. What I'll probably say is, let's do it. Go talk to your small group, okay? That's probably what I'll say. You think I'm kidding. Some things need to be organized bigger than that, I understand. But I want every member to become a minister, not just in these walls. Let's get outside these walls and make a difference for the cause of Christ. If there's a church that is known and known in this community for their impact on this community, I want it to be Lighthouse Baptist Church. Not so we can pat ourselves on the back, but so we can get the gospel of Jesus Christ out to as many people as we possibly can. And that really is the major goal. And so every member and minister, by being involved in in-reach ministry and by being involved in outreach ministry. Now, before we wrap things up here tonight, this is always a little bit of a longer service because of me trying to convey the vision for everything that God has placed on my heart. Before we wrap up tonight, I would like to talk to you about our calendar for this year. Because there are some things on the calendar that I want you to be praying about, and you go ahead and start praying about being involved with them right now. First thing you'll notice on the calendar this year that we have put all of our Lord, we have put four of our Lord's Supper services on the calendar. All of those will be taking place in the evening service, and I want those to be on there so that you can be prayerfully prepared to partake when those times come. That's why we put those on there. Another thing you'll notice about the calendar is that teen camp is not on it. Teen camp is planned for this summer, but we don't have any dates yet, and that's not my fault. There's nothing I could do about it. I did threaten, and it did no good. Okay. And then any parents of juniors who are interested, I would like to send a group of our juniors to camp. And it might be San Juan around here. It might be another camp. But I know that camp made such a big impact in my life as a young one. And I'd like to make that a priority this summer of making sure we go to junior camp this year. Guess what? I'm not going to take them. I love our juniors, but I'm standing up here talking about not being as involved. What that's going to require is some chaperones to step in and help. And God put that on your heart. And we would be very interested in you being a part of helping that happen this year. One of the things we obviously didn't put on the calendar for this year because it's not taking place this year, but will be taking place early next year, is our missions trip to Africa. It's going to be in February 2023. I've been working with Brother Jenkins on getting all the details together for that. It's going to be about $1,500 to $1,600 per person for the trip. It's going to take some fundraising on our part in preparation. I'm telling you now, so you could be preparing this year, and we'll be having more meetings throughout this year in preparation for that missions trip. Boy, I'd love to take a group of 20 or 30 people from our church, or even more, and go out there and help them build a church and help put on some evangelistic crusades and do some singing for them and preaching and maybe even see some souls saved while we're there. But mark that down in your mind. Now, when it comes to the actual calendar, I won't hit all the dates. But I will say that we have our first men's and ladies' activity planned in March of this year. And I hope you'll make it a priority to be at those. That's a great time for our men and ladies to get together and have fellowship and get to know one another better. You'll notice on April 16th that we put something on there called the hunt. I am sad to inform you it is not a turkey hunt, okay? Although I'm all for going turkey hunting that day if you want to, okay? I don't even know if season starts by then. But no, the hunt is going to be a big outreach initiative, not at our church, in our community. We're going to do a big Easter egg hunt is what we're going to do. And we're going to promote it big. And we're going to preach the gospel at it. And we never tried something like this. It may epically fail. Well, you know what? There might be some kids and adults who get saved as a result of it. But we're going to shoot for the stars. And if we hit the moon and that's all we hit, then at least we hit the moon, okay? But the hunt, we're going to need a lot of help to put this thing on with planning it. But that is a big thing that's on the list as an expansion of our Easter outreach. And then we have on April 17th our sunrise service and Easter Sunday service. Those will be big things for this year. May 1st, I already mentioned this morning, is Build Weekend. That's the weekend when we are going to put forward the plans for the new building and begin our capital campaign, raising funds for putting up a new building. Here's what I need you to do, church. I need you to be praying between now and then about what type of commitment God might have you to make towards the future of our church at that point. And by God's grace, we've been able to save over $200,000 towards the future building. Really, it's closer to $300,000 if you include the actual build fund. And I'm thankful for that. But we're going to have to make more sacrificial investments as a church if we're going to get the building built to the caliber of what we're looking at building. I don't even know what the price tag is. Well, I was told by the architects, don't guess because you'll be disappointed no matter what you guess. And don't you like it when architects tell you stuff like that, by the way? All right. We're going to be frugal with how we build. But at the same note, I need you to be praying about that weekend and preparing your heart for what God might have you to do May the 1st. June 18th will be our men and ladies events for the summer, and that'll be in conjunction with our summer revival starting that next weekend. Now, you may have already planned your summer vacation, and you say, Pastor, you're too late. I already booked the tickets. I already made the plans. I understand that. But if you haven't made the plans yet, you know you don't have to plan it for that week, okay? I want to encourage you to be here if you at all possibly can for our revival meeting this summer. And then July the 11th through the 14th is our Vacation Bible School. You'll notice we're only doing it 1 week this year. Hallelujah. Okay. I don't know what we were thinking doing it 2 weeks in a row, 2 years in a row. But we were obviously not thinking. We were thinking this year. We're going to do it 4 days instead of three and be a lot more intensive that 1 week. I'd like to do a carnival the Sunday following. I'm not sure if we'll be able to work it out or not. And invite all the families out for the graduation. But we already got the theme picked. We're excited about VBS, and I hope you'll plan to be a part of that. It is a great team effort for our church every year. And then August the 21st, we've not done this before, but I want to do a back-to-school Sunday, and I'm going to need some of your help who are people who could give some insight in this area, because I don't have as much insight as some of you do. But I'd like to do some outreach to our public school teachers on this day. I know we have a lot of them that already go to our church. I'm not just looking to get a bunch of people in here to hear the gospel, although that's what I'm always about. But I'm looking to do something encouraging for people who are in that field. And so that would be something that we're going to look to do that day. September 11th will be our outreach to our first responders, Patriot Sunday. September 18th, our Big Country Neighbor Day, our Community Involvement Day, where we're trying to get as many people from our community to come and preach the gospel to them. And then October 2nd through the 5th is our missions conference. And church, I need you to be praying. We have not had a missions conference and not asked people to re-up their commitment to give to missions in 2 years. And we need to pray about God expanding our vision for missions so that we can continue to support our current missionaries and by God's help, begin to support some new missionaries as well in the days ahead. And then November the 6th will be our Veterans Sunday, our outreach to our vets. And December the 25th will be Christmas Sunday. Christmas is on a Sunday this year, and I'm looking forward to doing some special things on that day in a lot of different ways. But one of the things that we've talked about doing this coming December as well is to do a nativity outreach. And really, it's going to be a time to present the gospel in a unique way. It'll require a lot of families and individuals joining together and taking short segments of time to be able to make the nativity outreach happen. It'll also take some men and women coming together and helping put everything together, the structure of it, and whatever location we decide to do it. I'd like to see that happen this December. And it's going to take us joining together as a church to make it happen and really get across the reason for the season this coming December. Here we are, January, already talking about December. But friend, I'm excited. God's got some big things in store for us this year. And I hope you're excited, too, to be a part of what God's going to do here. And so I won't belabor those things any longer. But friends, that's the vision in short. And I know I haven't been short, but that is the vision that God has put on my heart for our church this year. And I hope you'll pray about the part God would have you to play in being a part of that vision. And I hope that you'll join together with me in those goals. Every attender, a member. If you're not joined yet, I hope you will. All right, I hope you will. And make whatever decisions you need to so that you can. And every member, a disciple, keep growing, keep helping others grow. every member, a minister, get involved in ministry in these walls and outside these walls. And by God's grace, I think that if we'll embrace this process for growth that God has given us, God will enable us to accomplish our primary goal of simplifying church this year so that we can grow forward and continue to see God do more at Lighthouse Baptist Church in the years ahead for God's glory. Let's all bow our heads together. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.